Good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't hear you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am so happy to be at home. This is home to Doreen and I. God was so gracious to bring us home. He reminded us that you have a family, and we didn't know where the family was. You are here. So we thank you. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for, you know, supporting us. And thank you for, you know, your graciousness. No wonder you are called Grace Fellowship Church. We feel the grace of the Lord in this place. Today's message, storms of life are with us. You know, they are inevitable. In one way or another, we experience them. And we wanted to look at this passage of scripture in the Gospel of Mark. And I won't do justice to it, but we'll have an overview of what Jesus is saying to us. Have you ever felt alone as you battled the storms of life? You know, sometimes you can be with people and you are alone. I've experienced that. You are amongst believers, but yet you are alone, battling with the storms of life and wondering why or where Jesus was when you needed him. We ask those questions now and again. Where are you, Jesus? Have you ever thought about how often in the scriptures we encounter stories with the basic elements of Jesus? The disciples, a boat, and a stormy life. Jesus, disciples, a boat, and a stormy life. This is a familiar passage of scripture to all of us. I think the reason those stories connect with us so well is because we really can't find anything that would better illustrate the feel of circumstances that are out of our control. You see the disciples, they are in the boat, and I mean in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. They are out of control. The word of God reads, immediately, this is from verses 45 to 52, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. While he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now, when the evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was on the land. Then he saw them straining at the rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and they would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Amazing the way Mark describes the amazement. I don't know how to put it. It's the mega, mega, mega amazement. Because he says, you know, they were amazed. Amazed beyond measure and marveled. He adds all these words to describe their amazement. And it's interesting to see the last sentence. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. They're in this storm, and something has happened. The waves have ceased, but the conclusion for the disciples is that their hearts were hardened. You know, they are still remembering about the loaves. Jesus had just performed a wonderful miracle. That's the background to this. And the disciple had the privilege of being deeply and personally involved in it. A huge multitude of people had gathered around Jesus and sat to hear him teach. And when he was through teaching them, the disciples encouraged him to send them away into the villages and towns to buy themselves something to eat. This is like, you can imagine, you know, you have 5,000, maybe 10,000 people. You are addressing them. And it's getting near to 12 p.m. And you understand that if they are here by 12, food needs to be provided. So the disciples, in their thinking, they go, you know what, let's send them away. That's the solution. So that they can buy themselves food to eat. But Jesus utterly surprised his disciples. He gave them something to eat. He taught them. Give them food to eat. And he prayed to his Father. And he multiplied. We are told 5,000 men. They haven't even counted the women and the children. It's way over 5,000. I'm sure you're familiar with the story. The disciples thought, how could we possibly feed such a great multitude? So the feeding miracle is an important part of our story in the boat. The crowds of people were amazed at Jesus. And according to John's gospel, Jesus could see that they were about to take him by force. You know, when you look at the gospel of John, this story is very interesting because these people started following Jesus, not because they believed in him, but because of bread. How many times do we follow Jesus? Because things are good, he has provided bread for us. Our lives are comfortable. We can follow him. But the story, it's so amazing because it tells the story so differently. We follow him even in the midst of a storm. I believe that he also sought to get himself away from the situation because, you know, Jesus was so popular. And these people, they want a king. They want a Messiah. Maybe this is the right time. You know, where the word of God has been written, it's like Jesus, it was abrupt. He says, disciples, go away. I am going. And he went to pray. And that brings us to the main event of our story. It had already become late in the day by the time the disciples had gotten into the boat. And Mark tells us in verse 47 that evening came. And the boat was in the middle of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. Apparently, as so often happens on the Sea of Galilee, surrounded as it is by the tall mountains and hills, I can't wait one day to go to Israel to go and see this picture. A sudden and unexpected wind struck. The disciples were trapped in a very difficult situation. Remember, these were fishermen. They knew the sea. They were not like us. You know, you go in the ocean and you feel still, you feel seasick and you go, let's get back, Alan Smith. Let's get back to the land. We perish. No, these people, they knew their trade. So they understood the sea. They understood the waves. But this was a difficult circumstance. It's like us when we are sick, we know where to turn. We know our doctor. You tell us, you know, and you give us all the medicine. We know. But we are talking about circumstances beyond even the doctor's control. All the doctor can do is tell you whether it be bad news or good news, he will tell you the news. So the disciples were trapped in this difficult situation. They rowed and rowed, straining at the oars, and yet by the fourth watch of the night, this is around 3 to 6 a.m., things are getting worse. Nothing is happening. So the disciples still had not advanced any more than just 3 or 4 miles across the vast lake. Stop and think with me for a moment about what a tremendous illustration this is of the kind of things we often experience. You and I may not find ourselves tossed around in a small boat in the midst of a storm, but we do occasionally find ourselves overwhelmed, tossed and thrown around at the mercy of circumstances outside our control. It may be because of the loss of job that you feel yourself thrown in financial circumstances that are outside your control. Or it may be a report from the doctor that suddenly throws your life in a whirlwind. It may be that someone in your family or a relative or a work associate is creating a situation that is distressing and intolerable. And there doesn't seem to be anything you can do about it. But whatever form the details may take, it has a lot of parallels to being in a storm out of the sea. It is a situation or circumstances that is tossing you around and throwing your life into a blender, as they may say it. I have 3 points. That was just introduction. I wanted to share 4, lessons we can learn from this, picture Jesus has painted to us. The first lesson we learn is that Jesus sees us in our circumstances. He sees us in our circumstances. You know, sometimes we think we are alone. Sometimes we think when we go or we pass through these storms of life, we think it's Jesus is not there with us. But I want you to know, he sees our circumstances. There they were, roaring fruitlessly against the wind. They were, as the text says, straining at rowing. And they probably felt a little angry at first, but their sense of the situation soon grew more serious. The word that Mark uses means that they were afflicted and tormented. And when you look at the same word in the Gospel of Matthew, it was the boat which was afflicted. In Mark, it was people who were afflicted, the disciples, because of the rowing, straining. But notice where Jesus was when this was happening to the disciples. Mark tells us that he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing. Jesus is with us. Jesus sees our circumstances. Jesus saw everything that was happening to them. We would have to say that it was a miracle that he could see them because it was three or more miles away from the land. Jesus is very aware of what you are going through in times of trials. The writer of Hebrews, you know, tells us that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We have a high priest. He's praying for us, interceding for us, because we are so special in his sight. It says in Hebrews that Jesus always lives to make intercession for those who have trusted him for salvation. You know, sometimes when things are so good, you know, prayer is not something we yearn for. When things are so good, you know, reading the word of God is not something we yearn for. When things are so good, coming to church is a burden, it's a struggle. When things are so good, you know, fellowshipping with others is a strain. And we are reminded sometimes with the storms of life to go back to the basics. Jesus sees us in every circumstance we find ourselves in. So whenever we go through a trying circumstances, the thing we should know, first of all, is that Jesus knows and understands every detail of it. The second point is that Jesus transcends our circumstances. Mark tells us that about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. What a wonderful picture of victorious transcendence that is. You know, sometimes we are in Zambia, you know, every month there is payroll to be made. And sometimes 2 weeks before you are looking at it and you are going, Lord, what is going to happen? We are reminded, we look to him, we trust in him. He's the one, he's the source of everything. The source of everything. Not just a little bit, but everything, be it bad or good. God, he's seeing, he transcends our circumstances. Now, how was this physically possible? How could Jesus defy the laws of gravity? You know, someone, you know, hinted, he says, no, there were a lot of rocks. Jesus was stepping on and then going and making sure he finds himself at the, you know, at the boat. But the story in the Gospel of Matthew is different, because when Jesus says, it's I, the Lord, he was on water, what did Peter say? Bid me to come there. And Jesus says, come. Peter walked on water a little bit. And then he looked at the water and he goes, oh my goodness, you mean my feet are touching the water like land? And the moment that came into his mind, he started sinking. And Jesus took him by hand. I believe going to the boat, the scriptures, you know, is silent on that. I believe they all walked to the boat. Jesus is able. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. He transcends our circumstances. Think about the circumstances you face in life that seem so out of control. They are out of your control, but they are in fact not out of control at all. Sometimes we think things are out of control. They are not. We have Jesus who sees our circumstances. We have Jesus who transcends our circumstances. The circumstances are completely under his sovereign rule. You know, friends, when we talk of God is sovereign, sometimes we bring it to our understanding and say he is this. He is sovereign in every way. Everywhere. The God we serve is not a God of saying, oops, I forgot to provide for my child. No. He knows it all. And he strolls past us as it were, in the midst of all our struggles and troubles, waiting for us to take our eyes off the impossibility of our circumstances and to see how he transcends them. Waiting to see if we will seek from him the help that he is so ready and able to give us. He wants us to learn. He wants us to learn to trust him because he's our God. The third point, Jesus presents himself to us in our circumstances. Sometimes he shows up because we can't see him. We are like the servant to Elisha, you know, when there was a battle. And the servant says, "Oh, master, the ones we are fighting are too many." And Elisha says, No. The ones with us are more than those." And the servant's eyes were opened, and when he saw the angels and everyone else, he goes, "Okay, let's go borrow." And sometimes we think we can, you know, our faith is so limited, and we think, you know, we can do it. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. He transcends. He's with you. Is that not what he says in the Gospel of Matthew? Go into all the world and preach the good news, make disciples. And at the end he says, "I will be with you always." He is with us today. This is not by accident we are here. He is with us. He is with us in our trials. That's the God we serve. Mark tells us that the appearance of Jesus throwing across the waves didn't exactly calm the disciples down at first, because they were thinking he's a ghost. You know, sometimes angels will pass by you and they'll bless you and you just say, you know, it's one of those things, I'm still waiting. Jesus has passed by. And for us, we have living angels here. And we know Jesus is with us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Wherever we are, he's in our circumstances. Now, before we look down on them for this, and before we call them unduly superstitious, the disciples, let's remember their condition. If you were in that condition, you know, for me, maybe I would have been crying and saying, "Lord, I don't know how to swim. There's no life jacket. You know, I perish. This is, you know, and I haven't done my will, so, you know, so be it, Lord." Because we are humans. Sometimes we cry out. Sometimes we want to do it in our own power. But notice that though he at first was going to walk past them, he instead talked with them. You know, I love these three phrases. "Be of good cheer," one phrase. "It is I," another phrase. "Do not be afraid." Friends, we can live in that, of being a good cheer, and knowing that Jesus is with us, and he uses the word, "I am that I am." It is I am, is with you. Do not be afraid. Don't be so fearful. And Paul tells Timothy that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but he gave us the spirit of sound mind and of love. Jesus is with us in the circumstances. And he goes on. Peter had gotten his eyes off Jesus, as I said, in Matthew. This happens to all of us. Sometimes our eyes, they move somewhere else. You know, we are so stuck at the, you know, Dow Jones stock index. It's so vivid, it's so real, because it's happening to us. And we move away from Jesus. And when that crashes, we are so crushed. We have no idea that Jesus is with us in these circumstances. Friends, we have a God who cares for us. We have a God who is always there for us. The fourth point, Jesus enters in with us in our circumstances. I love the beautiful simplicity of those final words. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. The Master is here. In other words, he comes up into our circumstances, and he calms the waves. And sometimes we have so little faith, we don't recognize that it's God who has calmed the waves. You receive a letter from IRS and say, you owe this much, and you crash. And all of a sudden, IRS writes and say, no. Maybe this was a mistake. We are still investigating. You go, oh my goodness. Instead of saying, thank you, Lord, you are calming the circumstances. They thought I owe them. No, they owe me. So Jesus enters with us in our circumstances. It is wonderful enough that Jesus comes to our level to enter into our times of trial with us. We have a high priest. He sympathizes with us. He enters into the trial. He was tempted in all points. He certainly could have caused the storm to cease by just commanding it to cease while sitting on the safe mountain. You know, sometimes, you know, God allows it. He allows certain conditions in our lives so that he tests us. And not only that, we grow. You know, you have heard some people say, you know, you meet someone, they say they've been married for 5 years. He says, any problems in your life? They say, no. Our marriage has been so good and everything else. You go, oh, okay. Not yet. Time will come. We can talk later. You know, some of us, is within a year, we find out that we need Jesus. He needs to come with us in our circumstances. But we see even more in the wonder story, the moment we invite Jesus into the trial with us, the trial is basically over. Even if we are in it, it is over because we know the one who is with us. It is good to know that you are with Jesus. It is good to know as you pass through the storms, you know, is it not the psalmist in Psalm 23 who says, even though I pass through the valley of darkness. It doesn't say, even if I will avoid the valley. No, even though I pass through the valley of darkness, though you are with me. The simple principle we are meant to understand from this is that whatever our trial, whatever our circumstance, things immediately begin to get better the moment we consciously, deliberately, decisively welcome Jesus into the situation with us. Our great priest. Our problems is that we wait for a long time to do it. Because we have not practiced what it means to go back to Jesus on a daily basis. And Jesus is saying, what are you waiting for? I have an answer for you. And that leads us to those closing words, to the lesson that the disciples had failed to learn in all this. Mark wrote, he says, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. It is as if Mark struggles to find the words to describe their amazement. So the disciples didn't expect Jesus to do anything in their storm. They never learned a lesson. And God sometimes gives us lessons in life. And we need to learn from these lessons to trust him. We should never forget about what he has done in our lives. When the devil reminds me and say, oh my goodness, this is happening, you know, you are alone again, I will remind him, I say, God has been with me from the village life to Orange County life. Hallelujah. I remind him, it's only Jesus who can do that. No one else can. Only Jesus can. And I thank him that he comes into our circumstances. He sees our circumstances. And he transcends our circumstances. Because we have a God who cares. Dear brothers and sisters, every trial that God allows to come our way is lovingly guided and directed by him in a purposeful way. Each trial is so designed by him that it requires us to go back and remember something that God has already taught us about himself. And if our heart is teachable, we will be able to see that God has already proven himself in a past trial in such a way as to give us what we need for a stormy time in the present. So we have a God. The disciples had hard hearts and failed to learn the lessons of faith in their storm. Let's learn lessons for us because we have a God who cares. He wants us. He wants us to grow in him. So the disciples' story, for us the lessons is that whenever we are faced with trials, we learn to trust him. Let's trust him when there are no trials. We trust him when there are trials. We trust him when there are victories. And no wonder Jesus says, be of a good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. The only fear we need to have is the reverential fear for our God. No fear for man. No fear for the devil. Because God, Jesus has won the victory. Amen. Amen. We love him. And my prayer is that as we come closer to Thanksgiving and Christmas, we'll be reminded. Because remember, during these times, it's the times of pain in other people's families. It's times of reminders that their beloved is no longer there. But we pray for one another that God will help us in these storms of life. He will transcend them. And we believe in him because he's our sovereign Lord. He's the God who cares. And he loves us so much. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We give you glory for your kindness. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray that, Father, may we rely on you. May we trust you. May we be a people who love your word and who love to come to you in prayer. We thank you. We give you glory. What a joy to be a child of God. What a joy to serve you. Father, may we be busy with your business, not our own business. Be with us and go before us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.